Welcome to a special all-access edition of the ProWrestling.net NXT Recap. I'm your host, my name is Zach Zimmerman. Today we're going to be going through the show that aired on February the 8th, 2017. This was 2 weeks following TakeOver San Antonio. And honestly, they really didn't do much to capitalize on the buzz at all. And that kind of seems to be the way things go in NXT, is that there's a TakeOver special, there's a TakeOver hangover, and then 2 to 4 weeks ahead of the next TakeOver, that's when they kick things into gear and decide to actually start trying on these shows. And that's kind of disappointing. Frankly, TakeOver San Antonio is probably one of the less buzzworthy additions of TakeOver that they've done. But that doesn't mean that there's nothing to capitalize on coming out of it. It just really doesn't feel like they've taken full advantage of that. Last week they did some decent little Fallout clips and things. This week there was a little bit of progression, but overall, it just felt like, I don't know, it didn't feel like they really did as much to kick things into gear towards the WrestleMania TakeOver, particularly considering that it's the WrestleMania TakeOver. This should be a big deal. Give it 2 months build as opposed to just 3 weeks build. But nope, they're going par for the course, same as always. Why change up anything? Kind of disappointing, but anyway, let's get through this show. But before we do that, this is a special all-access edition of the audio, which means that it is available to everyone and not just you ProWrestling.net members. So if you're a .net member, skip ahead. If you're not, this is worth listening to. Head over to ProWrestling.net. At the top of the page, you will see the membership info link. Click on that. It's got all the info you need to sign up for ProWrestling.net membership. Lots of perks that come with that, guys. Obviously, you're familiar with ProWrestling.net if you're, well, reading the site and listening to this, but you can get ad-free access to the website. No pop-ups, no flashers, no banners, no nothing. All content everywhere you look. Once you start navigating the site that way, you'll never want to go back. Also gives you access to the .NET members forums, a pretty decent group of people in there having some pretty decent discussions. And then where our real, kind of where you get your money's worth here, is on the audio content side of things. We've got all TV shows, everything wrestling covered every week. You guys get a pretty decent little sampling of it here on the All Access side, but members get everything every day. There's audio reviews of Raw, SmackDown, NXT, I think maybe even Impact, if that's still a thing for whatever reason. I think we do Ring of Honor. The British guys do Progress shows these days, even considering how hot the UK indie scene is. I think you guys on the All Access side get Jason Powell's little, he doesn't call them quick hits, but his little daily audio updates. But in addition to that, if you're a member, you also get Jason Powell's Q&A audio shows, and then you get the flagship broadcast, and that's ProWrestling.net Weekly, and that is just the big show of the week. Like I said, flagship broadcast, anywhere from an hour and a half to 2 hours a week, Jason Powell and a guest of his choice, kind of a revolving door. Sometimes it's one of us website guys, sometimes it's somebody with some little bit of clout in the business, you know, Jim Ross, Dutch Mantel, somebody along those lines. But this week, it is Jason Powell being joined by ProWrestling.net staffer Jake Barnett. They're going to discuss the Vince McMahon shareholders call. They're going to discuss, everything that kind of was in this past week of wrestling and kind of what you can expect going forward. They'll also kind of preview Elimination Chamber. And that's really kind of what this week's focus is on, is that quarterly conference call and Elimination Chamber coverage. But then also we have a special little announcement to make, is that going forward, at least for the foreseeable future, ProWrestling.net Live will return on Mondays after pay-per-views. Get that? So if there was a pay-per-view on a Sunday, the next day, you can look forward to ProWrestling.net Live at 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Central on Blog Talk Radio. But you head over to ProWrestling.net, Jason will have all the info that you need up there on the main page. So lots of cool stuff going on at ProWrestling.net. It's a good time to jump on for membership, especially being WrestleMania season, so don't miss out. With that out of the way, let's jump into this week's show. As I noted, this was the show that was aired on February the 8th, and it was 2 weeks coming out of the TakeOver show. They did a little bit to follow up on that, but not a ton. Let's jump right in. We went to the opening video and we came inside the arena. We had the commentary team of Tom Phillips, Percy Watson, and the newly assigned to NXT, Nigel McGuinness. They welcomed viewers. They promoted Bobby Roode's glorious celebration for later on in the show, as it would be his first appearance in Full Sail since winning the NXT Championship. The lights cut out at this point and Sanity made their entrance for the first match of the show. Their opponents, the Bollywood Boys, were out next. They haven't been seen since, I think, maybe like the opening round of the Dusty Classic. I think they God, for whatever reason, they were the first match ever on 205 Live. What a mistake that was. But anyway, we haven't really seen a lot of the Bollywood Boys, so interesting to see them back here. But, well, if we can read into this match, I don't really think we have a lot to expect from them going forward, because this match was all about Killian Dane. Went 2.5 minutes, and it was just Killian Dane beating ass. Beat up both of the Bollywood Boys single-handedly. Crowd, kind of unfortunately, chanted "Shave your back" at Dane. But anyway, like I said, he beat the hell out of both of them. Hit one with a Wasteland and a jumping Senton. Powerbombed the other on top of him. And then he finally put Harv away with the electric chair driver, which Nigel McGuinness called the Ulster Plantation. And Sanity got the win in about 2.5 minutes. Yeah, all Killian Dane. That's what this was. This was to showcase Killian Dane. And it was effective in that. This group in the past, I think, is... well, their whole gimmick is that they're supposed to be, like, intimidating and intense and crazy. And they really have kind of lacked a lot of the, intensity and intimidation. But I think Dane kind of brings a lot of that to the table that the team was missing. After replays aired, we had Eric Young grabbing a microphone. He was going to begin to speak when Nikki Cross tried to grab it from him, and she just screamed, "Asuka! Asuka!" And yeah, well, she wants Asuka. Young eventually continued. He said that everyone finds their place, and those who can't will get put in their place by Sanity. He said that he had told Ty Dillinger once, Ty Dillinger made the wrong choice, and now he's going to tell him again, "You belong with us." Sanity's music hit, and they left the arena, and that was that. Well, that was that for at least this point, because that was certainly not the end of Sanity on this show. The show is quite heavy on the Sanity, in fact. We had Billie Kay versus Liv Morgan advertised up next, and when we came back, we had Liv Morgan making her entrance. Percy Watson claimed, this is a little bit weird. He's like, "Oh, this girl's always calling me, always trying to hang out," and Nigel McGuinness is like, "She has never called you in her life. She probably doesn't even know your name." So it's early, but they're kind of starting to work out that rapport already. Nigel is kind of the, you know, as the replacement for Corey Graves. Corey Graves is the one who was, you know, always kind of taking shots, fun shots, the other commentators. Nigel's kind of settling into his role quickly and effectively, as far as I could tell in week one. You then had the iconic duo, as they are now branding themselves, of Peyton Royce and Billie Kay making their entrance next. This was a singles match between Liv and Billie. Liv got a little bit of shine early on. Her new, like, I don't know, her big opening match spot is that she gets a sunset roll on the opponent, and then she just rolls all around the ring. Rolls and rolls and rolls and rolls and rolls. And goes for a pin attempt and doesn't get it. But Billie cut her off a short time later and took control from there. Liv made a little bit of a comeback, and when she did, it devolved into this tug of war for Billie between Liv in the ring. So Liv was pulling on one of Billie's arms. Peyton Royce had jumped up onto the apron and had grabbed Billie's other arm and was pulling her to ringside. This ended with Peyton falling off the apron, taking a spill to ringside, and Liv scooping up Billie with a leg clutch roll from behind, and Liv Morgan getting the upset win on Billie Kay, just shy of 4 minutes. Not a great match, not a memorable match. I mean, just kind of there. But I don't know. I'm at least open-minded to see where this storyline is going to go with Liv Morgan. That said, I don't have real high expectations because, well, Liv Morgan is good at the things that she's good at. But I think when you put her in a bigger role, I don't really think she's ready for that just yet. And it's weird. Billie and Peyton were like jobbers, jobbers, jobbers. Then they got a little bit of a push, and then they were put into the league with, into the same realm with people like Asuka and Ember Moon, and they just got squash, squash, jobber, jobber, jobber. And then they tried to build them up for this last takeover, and they lost. And now they're just jobbers again. And it's like, well, make up your damn mind. Either these two are like an intimidating... the two ladies who use the numbers advantage to beat up everyone and get the better of everyone, or they're jobbers who are just friends, and, well, make up your damn mind, because, I don't know, it's definitely not doing them any favors. After that, we went backstage where Ty Dillinger was asked to respond to Eric Young's offer to join Sanity, and he said that, TakeOver, he lost the numbers game. See what he did there? He said, "Am I joining Sanity? Hell no." And he began to carry on about his appearance in the Royal Rumble when he was blindsided by all four members of Sanity. They beat him down, dragged him out into the middle, or back out into the arena, brought him into the ring. He started to make a little bit of a comeback, but before long, he got run over by a running crossbody from Killian Dane. They continued to put a beating on him until Roderick Strong and No Way Jose ran out to make the save. They fended off Sanity and stood tall in the ring with Ty Dillinger as Sanity backed up the ramp. And we went to a commercial break, and that would end up setting up the main event match of this show, which just is like, my God, how weird is 2017? You have No Way Jose and Roderick Strong running down to save Ty Dillinger from Eric Young and Big Damo. Like, I don't know. You just, in 2016, if you, like, had a tumbler full of, like, every wrestling name or every name in the wrestling world, and you pulled them out randomly, you might end up with a segment like this. That said, you know, it was reasonable, I guess, for what it was. I'm not thrilled that Roderick Strong is being put at the level of No Way Jose and Ty Dillinger. Like, I'm really not thrilled about that. But, I don't know. This looks like it's kind of laying the groundwork, putting the pieces into place for something at the WrestleMania TakeOver. So, I don't know. A little bit skeptical at first, but, like, we'll see where they're going with it, I guess. We went backstage to William Regal's office, where he announced that for the first time next week, the United Kingdom Championship will be defended on NXT, as Tyler Bate will make his first appearance defending the title against Trent Seven. At this point, Peyton Royce and Billy Kay barged in. As I read through this, I'm realizing this was the Sanity and Billy and Peyton show. This really was. Anyway, they barged into his office and they complained that somehow Liv's win was illegal, and they demanded a rematch with her or something like that, maybe a handicap match. I don't know what kind of match they wanted, but they wanted another match. And Regal said, fine, normally I won't give in to demands like that, but if you want a match, you've got it. Next week, it'll be you two, Billy and Peyton, against Liv Morgan and a partner of her choosing. The ladies just cackled, she doesn't have any friends, and they left, so next week, it'll probably be, I don't know, one of the matches we've seen a million times. It'll probably be, I don't know, Liv and Aaliyah versus Billy and Peyton, or maybe Liv and Daria against Peyton and Billy. Who knows? Maybe she'll bring in Ember Moon, but I don't know. It'd be fun if it was, like, somebody wacky, one of the new ladies they just signed, or even, like a Mary Dobson, or, like a Kimberly, or Heidi Lovelace, but I don't expect that. I think it'll probably be one of the usual suspects, and it's just, like, that thing where I was talking about how Billy and Peyton were, like, jobbers, build up, jobbers again, and this, like, they're jobbers again. They're put on Liv Morgan and probably, like, Aaliyah and Daria's level, so I don't know. What does that say? We'll see. We got an update on Shinsuke Nakamura's knee advertised for next week. You know, we'd be hearing from him. Came back into the arena and we had the duo of Heavy Machinery, Tucker Knight and Otis Dozovic, making their entrance. They had new matching gear, new music, and looking like a real tag team now. I mean, they were in the first round of the Dusty Classic and they got over big despite, like, you know, not having a real tag team look or anything like that. Just, like, two big guys who do some fun tag team spots and can make some movement for big guys. The crowd really took to them. They've been in some dark matches on the taping since then, but we haven't seen them on NXT TV. So this was, like, their first real appearance since then. This wasn't really what I wanted from them. I'd like to see, give Heavy Machinery, like, a real start. Give them some squash wins over some enhancement teams and then drop them into this tag division. Don't just put them right in their heads up against former tag team champions, The Revival, just as, like, fodder for The Revival's next storyline. I don't know, I wasn't thrilled about that. I was happy to see Heavy Machinery back on TV, not thrilled at the role that they were put in, but who knows, it could change over time, but this was more about The Revival than it was about Heavy Machinery. And The Revival got a good reaction from the crowd, as they have been. I think just as kind of a matter of respect, the crowd's really starting to warm up to The Revival. And at the end of the segment, we got maybe a little insight into, not a babyface turn, but they're certainly not as hardline heels as they were even last week. But before we get to kind of, I don't know, this really seemed more about the post-match than this match itself, which, again, is kind of a disappointing reflection on Heavy Machinery. But anyway, third match of the show, Dash trying to outspeed Tucker Knight to no avail. Tucker Knight just overpowered him. They did a kind of a fun spot where Tucker Knight picked up Dash in a bear hug, tagged in Otis, and then just tossed Dash in the air. Otis caught him back in the bear hug and just resumed the bear hug like nothing. It was just fun. It sounds simple, but it was very cool. You know, The Revival taking the momentum a short time later and just kind of isolating their opponent in their corner, using some team offense. Otis eventually rallied out and fought out of a headlock. Tucker came in fresh for his team, and he went on a pretty fun little string of offense. High-speed running splash in the corner. He had a big jumping Fez press on Scott Dawson when he tagged into the match and tried to blindside Tucker. Looked like Heavy Machinery was in control, but then you had one of those kind of trademark Revival reroute distraction things where, like, one of the Revival leads one of the guys to ringside and kind of chases him around the ring. They get back into the ring, and that puts Tucker right into position. He walks right into a stiff DDT from Scott Dawson, and the Revival get the pinfall just shy of 4 minutes. Kind of fun while it lasted. Nothing super memorable, nothing super good, but it was all right. We had a replay of the finish, and when it was over, the Revival had taken microphones in the ring. They said that not everyone is idiots, apparently, or not everyone is an idiot, apparently, because they were awarded the NXT Tag Team of the Year, which was a fan poll award. The crowd chanted, "You deserve it," and Dawson said, "Relax, relax, we didn't say everyone is smart." Dawson said the DIY should have never even been the tag team champions, considering how badly they got demolished by the Authors of Pain. Dawson declared that the Revival are still the best tag team in the world, and they're going to prove it to the Authors of Pain at TakeOver Orlando, which is, of course, the WrestleMania weekend TakeOver. And they wrapped up by saying, "Top guys out." Before they could leave, though, the Authors of Pain's music hit, and they made their way down to the ring. As they did, though, the Revival backed out of the ring. Authors of Pain got into the ring, the Revival walked around the ring and backed up the ramp and out of the arena, you know, not wanting anything to do with the Authors of Pain. Apparently, having made their statement, the Authors walked out of the ring and started to back up the ramp, but as they got to the top of the ramp and held their titles up, they were blindsided from behind by the Revival. So this is certainly something we had seen from the Revival before, but we had seen it, I think the attack was on DIY, so kind of turning the tables here, attacking a heel team instead of a babyface team, so kind of clearly establishing themselves as tweeners, as they did with the, you know, the not everybody's an idiot, but not everybody's smart kind of thing. It's like they're trying to walk some sort of line. They're not just kind of insulting everybody like they once did. So yeah, they put a quick beating on both of the Authors, and then they just scampered off and they took off. The Authors recovered quickly, but they couldn't like get their bearings back in time to catch up to the Revival, who had sped off. So decent little segment there. Looks like it'll probably be a three-way title match, tag title match at in Orlando, which I'm fine with, considering it looked like it was going to be DIY and the Authors in a rematch, and then the Revival against TM61, considering, you know, Shane Thorne's out with the knee injury, that match is scrapped, and so I'm all for making this a three-way tag title match, frankly. I think I probably look more forward to this being a three-way match than I would if it were the other way around with the two just straight-up tag matches, but that's just me. We had a graphic promoting the main event coming up later in the show, which would be the six-man tag between Sanity and the team of Roderick Strong, No Way Jose, and Ty Dillinger. We had Bobby Roode's glorious celebration advertised up next. We had a graphic advertising Tyler Bate versus Trent Seven for the WWE United Kingdom Championship for next week. We had a video package kind of introducing Tyler Bate to the NXT audience. He spoke about his hands, bop and bang. Said that he may only be 19 years old, but age is just a number and he can put anyone out for the 1-2-3. We then came back into the arena for the glorious celebration. New NXT champion Bobby Roode made his entrance. The crowd sang along, of course. He made a big, long, drawn-out entrance before finally speaking. He said, you know, he made some kind of joke about, you know, "I'm not the guy to say I told you so." And then he just kind of cracked up. He's like, "Of course I am totally that guy. I told you so, I told you so, I told you all exactly what I was going to do." He said, "I told everyone since I've arrived that I'm on a different level, and I proved just that." He said Shinsuke Nakamura dominated Japan for a decade before coming to NXT. He said, "That's 10 years for those of you who don't know what a decade is." He said he beat Sami Zayn, he beat Finn Balor, he beat Samoa Joe when he came to NXT, but he could not beat Bobby Roode. He then laughed and he said, you know, Nakamura hit him with everything he had, including the deadly Kinshasa, but he just couldn't get the job done. Bobby Roode said that him winning was the greatest moment in NXT champion, or that him winning the championship was the greatest moment in NXT history because they finally have a real NXT champion. He said, "I walk like a champion, I talk like a champion, I dress like a champion." In between each one, the crowd goes, "Woo, woo!" Obviously, he's turning into Ric Flair here. He said, "It's no longer we are NXT. It is my NXT, and my NXT will be simply glorious." Fog shot down from that rig that they hang above the ring, and he held his title up and soaked in the moment. He just kind of posed in the ring as different lights shined on him, and they got all those good, sweet promotional shots that you'll see, you know, in the hype videos in the weeks and months to come. Yeah, the six-man tag team match advertised up next, but before that, we got kind of the rebuttal. We got the little intro vignette for Tyler Bate. Well, here we got the little intro vignette for Trent Seven. He said that he is from a cabin halfway up Mustache Mountain, which is where British Strong Style was started. Is his whole gimmick just to be like a total goober that nobody can take seriously? Because, like, I don't know. That's what this was. This was really stupid. I got to admit, I caught bits and pieces of the WWE United Kingdom Championship tournament. I didn't watch all of it. I Well, I'm going to lose some credibility here. I didn't think it was as great as everybody was raving about from what I saw of it. But this here, like, this did nothing to sell me on Trent Seven. Like, Mustache Mountain, it's a funny gimmick. I get it. He's got a mustache, and mustaches are like a fad right now. You know, all cool hipsters and stuff have wacky mustaches, and you know, if you put wax in it and you twist it, then you're real wacky and fun. And that's what he does all the time. That's all his only gesture is twisting his mustache, because he's from Mustache Mountain. Guys, he's got a mustache. Ugh. I'm going to get sick of Trent Seven really quickly, unless he does something to actually make himself, like, believable or whatever. I don't know. I didn't enjoy this at all. We had their match for next week advertised for the WWE United Kingdom Championship. When we came back, it was finally time for the main event. Ty Dillinger made his entrance, No Way Jose made his entrance, and Roderick Strong rounded out entrance for their team. And finally, Sanity made their entrance. They made their way halfway down the ramp, and the brawl started at that point. Babyfaces got back into the ring, and the show went to a final commercial break before we came back for the fourth match of the show and the main event. It was joined in progress, sort of, kind of, but very quickly, Sanity took another powder to ringside, and it was, you know, a couple minutes later, and things finally got underway. Jose rolled with a little bit of offense early, hit a big flapjack for a two count. Roderick Strong tagged in and hit a little bit of offense, but didn't really get to do much. He was backed into the Sanity corner. He finally managed to escape and tagged in Ty Dillinger, but he was taken down by Killian Dane, and this is the point where Sanity kind of took the heat on Dillinger. Dillinger finally managed to make a fight back with a back suplex on Wolf. And Roderick Strong flew in with a bunch of high-impact offense. He hit Dane with a jumping high knee strike, a captured backbreaker on Alexander Wolf. Eric Young tagged himself in, but Roddy didn't miss a beat as he had a big dropkick and a slam for a two count. At this point, things broke down, became impossible to cover, dives to the outside, and people hooking people's legs from the outside, and a bunch of distractions, and this and that. Ty Dillinger managed to hit the tiebreaker on Eric Young, but Nikki Cross, with the referee distracted, hit a diving Rana on Ty Dillinger that knocked him out to ringside. And with the referee still distracted, Killian Dane wiped out Roderick Strong with a running crossbody. Eric Young made the cover and scored the pin. So yeah, things really broke down and became just impossible to follow, but the non-legal man Dane runs over Roderick Strong, Eric Young makes the cover. Sanity gets the win in a little over 6 minutes, and that was pretty much how the show ended. Replays aired, and the show closed with Sanity on their way out of the arena as the babyfaces were left to recuperate in the ring. It was not a super memorable match, as nothing on this show was, but I did kind of enjoy it for what it was. It was a fun, quick-paced six-man tag match. You know, it didn't linger. I might have even been okay with it going a little bit longer, considering the pace that they did work at. I'm curious what this is going to lead to. Like, I'm not enthralled. This isn't like a world beater of a program. This isn't going to be change the tides for NXT and get all their buzz and momentum back. But like, what are they going to do? Are they going to break it down into a singles program somehow with Roderick Strong and Eric Young, or Roderick Strong and Killian Dane, which could be fun? Or are they going to keep it a six-man feud? Or was it, I don't know, was this the blow off? I don't know. I'm curious as far as what they're going to do. You know, and I'm okay with this. As a whole, like, I didn't think this show was kind of anything. It was just kind of there. And I don't really know, like, how to feel going forward. It didn't feel like it really left me with a ton to look forward to in terms of NXT storylines. Really, the only thing that it got me looking forward to was next week's United Kingdom Championship match, which I'm certainly looking forward to. But that doesn't really do anything to shape the landscape of NXT, which is kind of what I'm interested in as we move towards TakeOver Orlando. This is much more, well, we've got a really good, exciting match for you next week that's going to be just kind of burn a week as a kind of a placeholder so that we don't have to really tell stories for another week. Maybe that's kind of the way I'm reading into it. Maybe next week they'll have some storyline heavy stuff in and around the mat or around the match. But I guess that remains to be seen. That's pretty much going to wrap it up for this show. I don't have any sort of big sweeping generalizations because the show just didn't really warrant them. But I do have some pretty big news. Next week, I teased that I would be making an announcement, but of course, I'm not the guy to one-up anybody, and Corey Graves had his big announcement last week, you know, as he would be stepping away from NXT, and I would never have wanted to outshine him. So I told you all that I would be making my announcement this week, and here it is, and that is that for the foreseeable future, I'm going to be stepping away from NXT coverage. Next week will be my last live coverage of NXT and my last NXT audio recap. However, I will be picking up 205 Live coverage for the foreseeable future. This is nothing to do with me and my position at the site, and everything to do with a new semester at school and a shifting schedule that's just not going to allow me to be there for NXT as it airs live, but I will be available for 205 Live, and so Jason Pell and myself, we're just going to do a little trade-off, probably just for the spring, maybe into the summer, early summer. I'm not quite sure how long it'll last. Again, it's more dependent on school schedule because that's, well, sorry, everyone, that's my priority, unfortunately. But yeah, I love my position here at the site. I love being able to kind of talk to all of you and go back and forth with all of you. And so hopefully we can carry that over into 205 Live where things might even be a little more buzzworthy because it really feels like 205 Live has kind of capitalized on the buzz that NXT has lost. And that was kind of my theory, was that NXT really kind of fell into a rut when Cruiserweight Classic kicked off, and I really think that kind of pulled some valuable resources from NXT. So I look forward to covering 205 Live and just kind of being able to determine, you know, how much of that is valid, how much of NXT's buzz has gone to 205 Live, how much of NXT's buzzworthy talent has gone to 205 Live, and you know, what does that mean for the two shows side by side in comparison? I'm looking forward to kind of figuring that out. So for next week, I invite you all to join me for the last time. Well, for the time being anyway, on NXT coverage until I kick things off on 205 going forward. But that's going to do it for me this week. Until next week, everyone, take care.